Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to gather this morning. Father, we ask you through the power of the Holy Spirit to give us insight to be able to think, Father, doctrine this morning. Father, give us a rhema this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And I kind of like this verse because it kind of completes itself. You can go to a card store, and in a Christian card store, and it says, you know, all things work together for good. And they give it to you. We get stuck in sometimes in those cliches that, you know, they says, well, you know, you go to a funeral home, oh, he's in a better place. And as believers, get caught up in that. No, if he's not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he is not in a better place. He is in a terrible place. But we get caught up in that cliche that he's in a better place. So that people, believers also get caught up in this verse. You know, if they are rebelling against God, do you think God is saying, all things work together for good? It says, for those who, what does it say? For those who love God. People who are in rebellion, they don't love God. They're against God. They despise God. Satan was in rebellion. Did he love God? Was he created by God? Yes, he was. The good thing about us is the cross. Because we are saved. And the Apostle Paul was teaching this, so to be able to understand this verse, we have to go all the way to verse 18 when he's talking about the suffering of the believer. That's how this passage ties into this verse. But they just pull this verse out of the context and they write cards and they tell people what they want to hear. That's why it's so important to understand the Word of God the way it is written in the original. And then see what does it say, because a lot of theologians even have issues with this verse, which God is talking about, God the Holy Spirit, or is talking about God the Father. So without understanding that, how can we even pull God works all together for good? Yes, we can read through the Old Testament. We can read of all the women in the Old Testament, like Rahab, you know, like Ruth, like all those people, that yes, it worked together for good for them. Because they love God. Ruth wasn't even a Jew. But he says, I will serve, I'll go wherever you go. And I will serve your God as my God. She had a heart for the Lord. We see in the Old Testament, we see about Joseph. Yes, everything worked together for good because his heart was for the Lord. We see Bathsheba. And David, they were believers, you know, and his heart was before the Lord. He danced before the Lord. His wife, Micah, didn't like that. She thought he was ridiculous in front of the people. But he was dancing before the Lord, and the Lord caused all things for David to be good. See, that's the thing. You have to complete the sentence to say, for those who love God. You can't just take the first sentence and make something out of it. And that's Bible doctrine. That's why, you know, as Pastor Stephen says, you have to learn how to exegete it. You have to learn the eisegetics. You have to learn how to basically, you know, take every verse by verse and dissect it to see what God is thinking, what God is saying. If not, we're going to be teaching the wrong things. We can add one word to the scripture because that's disobedience. That's, you know, the Apostle Paul says, let it be anathema if we teach something different. So we have to be very, very specific. We have to be very careful as pastors to teach accurately the Word of God. Because in James 3 says that not everybody is going to be teaching. Because those who teach, there's a double discipline. You know, and those in the internet that they want to be teachers, we have to understand that we can't just be teaching because our uncle taught this way and that's how we're going to teach. It has to come from the Word of God accurately. It has to. there's no other way. If not, we're deceiving ourselves and we're learning the wrong doctrine. And we're not going to have an excuse before the throne of grace. Jesus, I gave you my word. What are you doing with my word? So as we can see that this verse, it doesn't just talk about all things work together for good. You see what I'm saying? The unbeliever can claim this. But sometimes believers, oh, don't worry about it, honey. All things work together for good. Mm-mm. Only for those who love God. Now the question then is, how do we love God? You know, remember the young rich ruler came to the Lord and asked him, what's the best commandments? Nobody he tell them to love your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. He put in order for him to really figure out how to do it. And then he says, and then you go and love your neighbor. See, God loved us first. If God wouldn't have loved us first, there's no way we can love somebody else. You go to downtown Baltimore, they're shooting each other every single morning. Do you think those people love their neighbor? Do you think they love God? It's impossible. It is impossible. You have to love God. To be able to love God, you have to know God. Then how do we know God? Through the scriptures. It takes maturity in the believer to truly know how to love God. It doesn't happen overnight. You see young believers sometimes, they get emotional in the church. You know, they're singing and they're lifting up their hands and praising. But as soon as something's pulled under their feet, they collapse. Because they don't have enough doctrine metabolized in the frame of reference. It takes time to really love God. To love God and love your neighbor. If not, as soon as your neighbor does something to you, you're going to react. Even as mature believers, we react when a neighbor does something to us. Imagine when you don't have any doctrine. So that's why it's so important that we truly understand how to love God. He loved us first. He sent His Son to die for us. In return, He says, love you, God. He loved you first. Know how He thinks. Know Bible doctrine, the written pages of Scripture. He will give you a rhema every day, just like the fresh dew in the morning. He will give it to you. You can learn how He thinks. The more we know about this, the more we know how He thinks. And the more we're going to love Him. We only got this time on earth. That's all we got. After we go, we're done. Through loving our neighbors, we also tell them about how wonderful. Tell them your story. Tell them what Christ did for you. That's how you love God. We love God by coming, you know, each week and just learning His word, Bible doctrine. You know, accumulating it every week. You know, just by giving our gifts towards Him. Just by helping a neighbor. Just like James says, show me your works and I'll show you my faith. Somebody comes to your door in a need and he says, yeah. See, he's talking about post-salvation. Paul was talking about, you know, pre-salvation. But James is post-salvation. Love God, you're also going to love your neighbor. You know, you just send that person on his way home, you don't help him out because he was in need, was thirst, or he was hungry. And then, we're not loving God that way. So, but it comes to the Bible doctrine that we truly understand the little details in life. You may think it's so little, but for God it's huge. A cup of water for God is huge. A cup of cold water, a cup of hot coffee, a cup of hot tea to somebody that you really love. Just being available to those people, that's showing love, kindness. Sometimes we do it, just, you know, but it's great. That should be in our DNA, just to do those things. But when somebody forces you to do that, it kind of shows you that we don't have that love. It doesn't come too easy to us to do it. That's why a man, God says, love your wife. Yeah, because we don't do it. Women loves us so quickly. But man doesn't do it. He says, love your God. Love your neighbor. as you love yourselves. So this morning I just want to emphasize that yes, all things work together for good for those who love God. The sentence has to be complete. Because in whatever circumstances we're going through, yes, God is going to work through it. For the believer. We pray for believers that are sick. I was talking about, you know, our sister Debbie Harmon. God could have healed her, but God chose not to, because He's working all things together for good for those who love Him, because she loves Him. She has been more of a testimony to others and what she's going through than if God had healed her. That's the difference. All things brought together for good, because you know what? In eternity, she's going to have a perfect body. All things will pass away. Even that broken body that she has right now. It's only about 3 feet long now, because the chap tore to her legs now. But she has no fingertips. But you may ask, why would God allow that? All things work together for good for those who love God. God will allow it to show His kindness, His mercy, His love towards mankind. At the end, she's going to see the reward. Isn't it in the earth? Sometimes we think that all our rewards will be in the earth. Sometimes He won't. Sometimes He won't. Sometimes some people are born to suffer, like the Apostle Paul. Some people are born to be rich, so they can help the church and all the missionaries, and God will use you that way. Some people are born to be poor, so they can be blessed by others, so you can show the love of God towards them. God has a purpose. God has every detail in life fulfilled perfectly. There's no perfectness in earth, but it is in heaven. Everything in heaven is perfect. Everything. On earth is not. But in heaven it is. And that's our final destination. It's heaven. And then we all come back to earth, of course. But our first stop is heaven, where we're going to see the perfection of God. And everything beyond that is going to be perfect. But I hope that this verse helps us to truly understand that it is God. It is God's love first towards us. Then we love God. Then we love our neighbor. And all things work together for good for those who love God. Because who God is not because who we are, but who God is for us. Amen?